All right, ready for some preaching? Amen. We've been blessed to have Brother Dean McNeese these couple of nights, and we thank God for this man. Very busy, God, used of God all over the country. We thank God for his ministry as evangelist. And so, Brother Dean, we appreciate you coming, being faithful to the Word of God. Let's welcome him into the camp meeting tonight, once again tonight. Amen. All right. All right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Everybody that loves the Lord, say amen.
Amen.
Take your Bibles and go to Matthew. We'll be in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Hadn't the Lord just been really good to us? I bless his name. It's an honor for me to be here at the Cherokee County Camp Meeting, and I thank God for it. I want to invite you to do two things. I want to invite you to come to Ringgold, Georgia next year. We always have about half of this crowd comes to Ringgold and to the Redfield meeting. And we always meet the weekend before y'all start this. So I invite you to come. And then I want to invite you to pray for our new missions board, the World Harvest Baptist Missions. Go look at our website, whbmissions.org. And we got, stand up, Brother Manley, stand up, Brother Johnson. We got a couple of our men, Brother Johnson and his pastor, Brother Womper, have just talked to us this weekend about getting the disaster relief ministry, the rescue mission type ministry that God's given Brother Johnson. He's pastored, and he is a faithful man of God. And with our work in Albania, and our men in Uganda, and we have about six countries on our mission board, I can really see the disaster relief ministry going around the world. And so you pray for Brother Jeff Johnson and churches, y'all help him. And then Brother Ben Manley is at 65% headed to Albania, Eastern Europe. 1,000 years under the Ottoman Empire, the Muslims, 100 years under the communist, but currently under the gospel. All right, y'all can't just look at me. I'll throw something at you. I sure will. So I'm going to run that by you again. I said they're currently under the gospel. And I wish you churches would take on Brother Manley and get him on that last 35%. And he could get over there with the other men we already have there. Thank you, men. Please look at that website. That's where you can see our ministries and our missionaries. Thank you, men of God. And Brother Kerrigan, I appreciate the old-timers that have blazed a trail. And they were doing a work for God before half of us was even born. And we owe a great debt to those that have gone before us. If I feel that good when I'm 80, I'm not even 50 and I already feel worse than he feels. Help me right there. I'm going to start drinking vinegar juice and eating bacon, more bacon, all day. Amen. Counterbalance my cholesterol. Amen. If you're in Matthew 3 and 4, I'm going to preach the scripture that the Lord's put on my heart. And I confess that we just need the Lord's help. I don't know how to preach. It's my 35th year. And I'm just like the first time I ever stood up. And I have no idea what I'm doing. But I'm called. And I got a Bible. And I try to walk with him. And he's got to help us. If he don't help us, nobody else can help us. Amen. My first message was the night God called me to preach. And I got called about 9 p.m. And I got happy about 9:05 p.m. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost and I preached at midnight. We were still shouting. That night, 36 young men got saved, 7 called to preach, 5 called to the mission field, And them numbers don't mean anything if you wasn't there to see what God was like. Y'all help me now. And we had a service from 7 to 9. And then the Lord stepped in and started a service. It went from 9 p.m. to 2 in the morning. So if I get a little long-winded sometimes, it's because I got started off in an 8-hour service. Help me right there. Y'all help me right there. And somewhere about midnight, my daddy's old home church, where God saved about 4 generations of us. And going back to a 5th generation, a great, I don't know how many greats, grandfather and a Baptist preacher stuck a shovel in the ground and turned the ground to settle that valley and start that church. And God let me get in on it right there where my heritage is. And there's an old brush arbor up on top of the hill. And the first message I preached was at midnight. I just got up and preached. They were running all over the mountain. There wasn't but 5 boys sat down and listened to me. They were praying down in the valley. They were running up on the hill. You can believe this or not. You're Baptist. You probably won't. But you can believe this or not. And they went up on the highway preaching. And there was such a presence of God that cars were pulling over at midnight now. And being respectful and listening. What about that? You run out on the road today, they liable to get shot or run over. But that, the power of God. And I preached that night at midnight in a brush arbor, Peter chapter 1, whom having not seen you love, in whom though now you seem not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I figured out that's my problem. I started out in a brush arbor in a midnight hour with unspeakable joy. Are y'all just going to look at me? I will throw a metal chair your direction. I will. I said I started out with joy unspeakable and full of glory. I never had to learn to get over religion. It was a real blessing. I never had to get over religion. Amen. I got under the spout where the glory comes out. I never had to get over the brethren. My daddy is a preacher. He didn't pay them no mind, and I didn't even know they were there. I never had to get over the brethren. I never had to get over religion. I've had to get over my sin. I've had to get over myself. I've had to get over my adversary, Satan. But I ain't never had to get over some things. And I couldn't get over the cross of Calvary. I bless the Lord. Well, if you'll just come with me, I'm going to walk through these scriptures and see if the Lord will help us. Lord God, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Help us for the next little while in the scriptures. Lord, you'll have to give me the train of thought. From the engine to the caboose, you'll have to give me the train of thought. Lord, you'll have to remind me of the scriptures. You'll have to refresh me with any stories that can serve as parables and illustrations. But Lord, tonight, more than anything, we need to see Jesus. We need to see ourselves. We need to see eternity. We need to see the blessings of God. And the plight of lost men. Help me for a little while, and I'll thank you for it in Christ's name. And all the Lord's people said.
Amen.
I have been in a series, and I don't know how to, a lot of my thoughts are not developed. They develop in front of me. And in front of y'all. And I run into them the same time y'all do. But in my studies, the Lord's had me in Matthew, the first 8 chapters. And the study began in chapter 4. And I'll have to give you a little background before I can make sense of what I want to show you. But in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said these most precious words follow me, and I will. Now, I know there's more there, Brother Phillips, Brother Kerrigan, but that's what the Holy Ghost said to me. Follow me, and I will. Y'all ain't helping me. Follow me, and I will. Well, that ought to help somebody. Follow me, and I will. Amen. And you know what? If you follow Him, He will. He will what? He will whatever. Y'all talk to me now. Follow me, and I will. I will. And I've been dwelling on that and walking through these chapters, pulling precious truth out of each chapter. If you'll follow Christ, can I share some of it with you? If you'll follow Christ, chapter 1, He'll take you into His world. Matthew chapter 1 is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. It's about the virgin birth. What about our Savior being born of a virgin? I'm going to say this, expect y'all to act a little religious right here. When I could not come to where He was, He came to where I was. When I could not make it to His world, He made it to my world. When I could not get to His heaven, He came to my hell. The Son of Man became, the Son of God became the Son of Man. The Son of Man became the sin of man. Came down and got me where I was. Well, if you follow Him, He'll take you to His world. A lot of preaching right there. Chapter 2 and verse 2. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? We've seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. And I want to say number 2. If you'll follow Christ, not only bring you to His world, He'll bring you to His worship. Come to worship Him. And they said it down there in verse 11. These wise men came and they fell down and worshiped Him. And you ain't going to worship Him till you fall down. You can't worship Him standing up looking at you. You got to fall down, worship Him. Yes. Now, every one of these chapters is a good hour of preaching, 2 hours of preaching. But I'm trying to show you the study. And I like verse 2. It's the first question in the New Testament. First question in the New Testament, where is He? First question God asked in the Old Testament, He asked man where he was. The Old Testament, Adam, where art thou? That's the point of the Old Testament. God wanted man to see where he was lost. But this gives you the point of the New Testament. God ain't looking for man to find his lost condition now. Now man can find Christ and change his condition. Where is He? I like that question. Where is He that is born King of the Jews? You contrast that with the first Adam. Where is He that died and lost His crown? Well, thank God the first Adam may have failed, but the second Adam has came. Amen. And here he is. Well, now you come to chapter 3. And if you follow Christ, there we get in them death waters. There we get in that Jordan. And there's John the Baptist baptizing. And I want to say this. If you follow Christ, He'll put you in them Calvary waters. Them death waters. The Spirit came down on Him. The Son of God came up out of that death water grave. And God spoke from another world. Oh, I wish I had somebody. Amen. I don't believe nothing that the charismatics believe, but we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I know we've been conditioned to react to that and to reject that. But I want to say, and I don't believe anything the charismatics believe. I just simply mean that we got to have the power of God on the church. That's all I mean by that. And the Holy Ghost came and He's still here and He'll light on us tonight. Won't be no speaking in tongues. Won't be no women preachers. Won't be no signs and wonders. We're not operating by sight. We're operating by faith. But honey, we need God on us. We understand the eternal security of the indwelling Spirit. We've already got God in us, but we need God on us. And Jesus was God with us, but He had to have the Spirit of God on Him. Well, I'm coming back there and see, He'll bring you into them waters. And then chapter 4, verse 1, go ahead and guess what the next W is. Yes, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And I hate to tell you this, but I'm going to have to tell you this. If you follow Christ, get ready for a wilderness. You won't have to stay there, but you'll have to go there. Amen. Elijah's in the wilderness. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness. David had to go to the wilderness before Saul was finally killed off. Moses and the children of Israel came through the wilderness. Hey, He's going to take you to that wilderness. I'm going to try to run through there in a minute myself with y'all. Oh, and then chapter 5. If you follow Christ, He'll take you. Well, let's see if we can see what it says. Chapter 5, verse 1, the multitude went up to a mountain. They set, the disciples came to Him. Look in verse 2. And He opened His what? And did what? What? And then saying. My. If you follow Christ, He'll take you into His Word. Look in verse 21. Ye have heard that it was said by them. Verse 22, but I say, I felt my first happy bubble right there. But I say unto you, come down to verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them. Verse 20, but I say unto you. Look in verse 31. It hath been said. Verse 32, but I say, I'm about to run what I'm about to do. But I say, and this goes on and on and on and on and on through this terminal. I just want to stop and say, our problem in the South is everything that we heard they said. I said, our problem in the South is everything we heard they said. I need to hear what the Lord has to say. I need some of that, but I say unto you. Oh, and if you'll follow Christ, He'll take you into His Word. And there you'll find the wisdom of God and the wealth of God and the ways of God. And then the last one and I appreciate y'all just letting me walk through this. I had to lay this out so you could enter into my thought pattern. But in chapter 8 and 9 is the last one. It's the last one. If you'll follow Christ, and then we're going to run back to the Jordan River and get in that thing. Now look in chapter 8 and verse 1. He's done with that, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 8 and verse 1, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And now it's time to help lepers. And now it's time to help fathers with demon-possessed children. And now it's time to help blind men. And now it's time to help sick folk. And now it's time to help people who sat in great darkness and let light spring up around them. Amen. And you get to the end of chapter 9 and He's praying that God would send forth laborers into His harvest. And I want to say this, if you'll follow Christ, He'll take you into His work. He'll take you into His work. Oh my. Well, that's the study. And I've been preaching that in our church revivals. Been preaching that for about 2 months now. Tonight the Lord's burdened my heart to come back. By the way, I need to show you something right there. I left it a little too quick. Y'all don't mind the Bible, do you? Look in chapter 8, and I love this. Brother Wampler, look at this. It said when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. When He got started over there in chapter 4, He just talked to two of them. He said, I want y'all to follow me. If you'll go ahead and follow the Lord, it may just be you and one other for a while. But in a little while, there'll be a pile of them joining. Amen. I just seen that when I was studying this. I just seen that. Two of them. Nobody was following the Lord. And he said, you two, I want y'all to follow me. And you, I want you to follow me. And there'll be a while. Hey! There'll be a while. It'll be just you. And you'll look around and be one more. And y'all will feel real lonely. You'll feel real awkward. You'll feel real fearful. But if you'll hang around in a little while, you'll be surrounded by a lot of help. Amen. Great multitudes followed him. Amen. Thought I'd mention that. Amen. Amen. Woo! I'm feeling a little happy bubble on that right there. Jacob said, when I left out of here, I didn't have anything but a stone for a pillow and a rod in my a staff in my hand. He said, now I'm coming back 20 years later, and there's so much of us, we got a double portion. We had to divide it up. There's two bands of us. Amen. And he said, it was God who led me in the way. Amen. You'll stay with God, honey. He'll turn that thing into a double portion after a while. It'll be two of them follow me. Just two of you, and look at each other and wonder, have we lost our mind? We're the only ones doing this. But it won't be but four chapters later, there'll be great multitudes in there with you. Amen. Come back. Here's my burden tonight. It won't take that long right now. Don't feel like it. To show you my burden tonight. Show you my burden tonight. And here's my burden. In Matthew chapter 3, God poured the Spirit on him. Do you see verse 16? God poured the Spirit on him. And he saw the Spirit of God. Is everybody looking at Matthew 3:16? I like them 3:16s. Oh, I dare you to look at some of them. Most of them's loaded. The last 3:16 in the Bible, Malachi 3:16. Was talking about us in an hour of apostasy at the end of a testament. In an hour of apostasy and idolatry at the end of an age. It's talking about us. Malachi 3:16. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. Amen. John 3:16. First Timothy 3:16. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentile, believed on, and received up into glory. Well, them 3:16s are good. We're in a real good one right here. We're in a real good one right here. This is one of them rare passages where you see all of the Godhead showing himself in one place. Can I get a witness right there? Ain't many of them. Now, they hadn't heard from God in 400 years. God himself used to come and have conversations with our patriarchs, Abraham, Adam, Noah, Job. Those men knew what it was like to have a personal conversation with God. Moses. Some of those men were the friend of God. My. But man got so wicked, God backed off and quit coming around. He began to send prophets, send judges, even gave them some kings. Every once in a while, an angelic visit. Sometimes a theophany. Whatever all that was is good stuff, whatever it was. The Lord or the angel of the Lord. I'll agree with whatever church I'm at. It helps the offering. Amen. Amen. Now, and all of you here at the same time, I just leave early is what I do. No follow-up questions allowed. Oh, it would reach the point here. 400 years of silence. And finally, though, a little baby cries in a barn outside Bethlehem. God's eternal plans kicked in. The plan of the ages. The man of the ages. Jesus, the Son of God. Colossians said that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. The angel told Mary, when you hold him, call him Emmanuel, because that's God with you. Amen. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Amen. And so here's one of them rare occasions where you see all of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I studied the Trinity back in December. I pulled 20 preachers off the shelf and I studied what they had to say about the doctrine of the Trinity. And that doctrine, I don't want to get off into that, but I say this, it's a great mystery, but it's a great mystery. Amen. Somebody said, I can't wrap my mind around the fact that he's one and yet three. And that he's three and yet one. Can't wrap my mind around it. That ought to give you some comfort that your brain ain't big enough to wrap around your God. That ought to give you some comfort. Now, honey, the doctrine of the Trinity ain't for your head, it's for your heart. Amen. God never told you to understand anything in that Bible. He just told you to believe it. Told you to believe it. Amen. And there he is. And now we see him right here. One of the men I pulled off the shelf said this. He said, you can get in trouble with God when you deal with him separately. Men have gotten in trouble with God dealing with God the Father. They've been torched with fire. They've been smitten on the spot. Men have gotten eternal damnation dealing with just the Son of God. He's liable to stomp his feet and walk out of your town and kick the dust off of him. Men have got in trouble dealing with only the Holy Spirit. Dealing with the Holy Spirit. J. Harold Smith preached that. I heard, started this meeting. 2,000 people under a tent. 40-something years ago is how this meeting started. And he warned men about getting in trouble with the Holy Spirit of God. The old theologian I studied behind said, but you'll never see when they're all three together, you're never in trouble. If you ever find three of them in the same place, it's always in a context of salvation and of deliverance. He's always there in mercy. When all three of them show up at the same time, he's there to save you. He's there to deliver you. He's there to help you. Amen. Thank God I'm glad they got together at Calvary. I'm glad they got together in Christ. Amen. Here's one of them places right here. Here's one of them places. Now, I've got three things I'm going to say to you tonight. Here's my original burden. It took me that long to get there, so thank you for your patience. Here's my burden I want to show you tonight. Matthew 3:16. God poured the Spirit, the Holy Spirit out upon Jesus. Something interesting there said John saw. Here I am going to run another little rabbit. Y'all doing all right? As far as we know, a man of God that I pulled him off the shelf and he said, John the Baptist is the only man that ever saw the Holy Spirit. Woo! Thank God for old John the Baptist. What about that? It wasn't John the Methodist or John the Presbyterian. It wasn't John the Charismatic. And it wasn't John the non-denominationalist neither. And it wasn't John, your granny Church of God preacher. I know we're way out in the woods here, half of y'all. Sorry about that. It was John the Baptist. I'm sorry, but I'm not going contemporary and yanking Baptist off my sign. Just a little announcement right there. Just a little announcement right there. Amen. When Jesus, he done told his father goodbye, then he told his mother goodbye, and he headed for Calvary. The first place he went to the only Baptist preacher in town and said, I need you to baptize me. Honey, if it's good enough for him, it's good enough for us. John the Baptist. Jesus said he had been Elijah if you ought to have received him. Oh my. Explain that. I can't. I'm leaving the service early. Too many preachers here. Amen. John, I got to get to the Waffle House and order some chili. Amen. Before the third shift. It's just important. Just amen. Just trust me on that one. But I want to say to you, John the Baptist, honey, he saw some things nobody really got to see. John the Baptist is the only man that was born an Old Testament prophet and died a New Testament preacher. Amen. Amen. He saw the heavens opened. He saw the Lamb of God before anybody else knew what the Lamb of God, who the Lamb of God was. He said, amen. There was a day he preached, echoing the voice of all the prophets. There's one coming. There's one coming. There's one coming. 10,000 times 10,000, that message had been told. But honey, he stepped down in them dividing death waters of the Holy Land. And there was a day and he said, behold the Lamb of God. And he walked out of the water that day saying, he's here. He came. He's here. Amen. He saw the Lamb of God. He saw the Spirit of God. Nobody else ever got to see those things. Nobody got to see the Lamb of God until after. My. He saw the Lamb of God coming. I'm enjoying my little, I may sign my own Bible. I'm enjoying my preaching. Just to remember the occasion. He saw the Lamb of God and he saw the dove of God. I want to comment on them too before I finally get to where I'm going. Neither one of them will hurt you. Neither one of them ever would hurt you. A dove has nothing to hurt you with. Dove don't even have a gallbladder. It don't retain any bitterness. Amen. The lamb will never fight you. Lamb don't have anything to fight with. Lambs don't fight. They have a shepherd. Lambs have a shepherd that fight for them. Amen. Doves just coo. That's all they'll do. They'll mate for life and mourn when they're gone. Amen. John saw these things. Well, you've been very patient while I've wallowed in my study to get where I'm going. Here's what I wanted to show you. In Matthew 3, God poured the Spirit out on him. And in Matthew 4, God turned Satan loose on him. Now, in my studies, I was looking at that. And a little thought popped up in my heart, and I want to share it with you. And that is this. I sure am glad God knows what's coming in the next chapter. I'm over halfway done preaching tonight. I just want to stop and say, as we leave this meeting, God knows what's in your next chapter. You may lay Isaac on an altar in your next chapter. There may be some messengers coming to your house like Job had come to his house in your next chapter. But God's ready. He'll have you ready for what's in your next chapter. I just want to say it like this, and I ain't getting no deeper than this, so you got to enjoy this. There ain't nothing else to enjoy. You got to enjoy this. Honey, I'm glad that God knows when Satan's going to get turned loose on you, and he'll give you the Spirit of God before he gives you the Satan of hell. It's our adversary. Thank God for it. Now, I want to say three things out of the text right here. I want to say, number one, for your next chapter, I'm glad God will give you the anointing that you need for the next chapter. Isn't it good that he knows that chapter 4 is coming? Wild beast, a wilderness journey, a 40-day fast, and thank God he'll dip you down in the River Jordan and let a voice speak from another world and let a dove light on you. Thank God he'll give you what you need for the next chapter. The anointing that you need for the next chapter. I was preaching along them lines down in South Georgia. And there's a precious old man of God, 70 years of age. Sweetest little church, 5 miles from President Jimmy Carter's place in Plains, Georgia. We always slow down by there and see if we can get the Secret Service to chase us. You'll have to bear with me. have several disorders. They just enjoy all of them. We always cruise by there and try to get the attention. Amen. I want to talk to President Carter about several things. I'm trying to collude these days. I don't know how. If I could figure out how to collude, I'd be colluding with somebody. Well, sweet little church in South Georgia, the cotton field and the red clay. Little old pastor down there, little old white wooden building. Got a precious congregation. One of the sweetest meetings I get to go to every year. They've been having a camp meeting nearly 40 years down there too. Some great names have went through that little church and preached. I've been down there the last 10 years. 30-something years ago, his wife walked out on him. Ran off with a young man. She's just wicked. She's just a wicked woman. She's had a terrible life. It's been a train wreck. She walked out on that precious man of God. And he went right to his pulpit to resign. And that little flock gathered around their shepherd. They said, "Now, preacher, now hold on." Said, "You stood by us in our hard times. Don't you go nowhere. We're going to stay right by you." Amen. And you know, he just stayed there and he lost a wife, but he gained the bride. He never married. He never courted. And some people may not like it, but, you know, I'm going to Waffle House, need some chili. And he just stayed right there and been faithful to that precious little flock all these years. Amen. And his old buddies come every year and they just shout for a week. Oh, it's precious. He got to telling me, and I've heard him talk about it before. They had a 6-week revival there one time. A 6-week revival. And he said the power of God. Folks saved every night. People entering into the glory of God that didn't know nothing about God. Services till midnight. Church all day. Praying all day. 6-week revival. Can I stop and say it sure would be good if God breathed a real revival on us?
Amen.
Talk to me right there. Oh, honey, if God would do that for us, if God would do that for us, an eternal revival, oh my. Well, he said we had that 6-week revival. He said the power of God. Well, I preached this little thought that God would pour the Spirit out so you could handle. God would give you the Spirit in chapter 3 so you can handle the adversary in chapter 4. We got it the next morning. He said, "I couldn't sleep all night." He said, "I've been shouting all night." He said, "I'd never tied the two together." He said, "Did you know that we had that 6-week revival? And it was the week after that that my wife walked out on me." And he said, "If God hadn't had me so full of God and so full of glory and so full of power, he said, I'd have never survived what happened to me. But God had already given me what I needed." I got a little announcement from another world. God's already give you what you need for what's coming. Amen. David been sitting up there playing that harp. He done killed a bear and done killed a lion. And when he walked down in that valley, honey, he's the only one didn't see a giant. He'd been looking at something a lot bigger than Goliath. He'd been gazing at God. He'd been talking to God. And when he walked down in that valley, honey, them men had been looking at a giant, but David had been looking at God. He's going to give you what you need ahead of time. Oh, my. When I pastored, oh, God be saved. 1993. I wrote down on the calendar every Sunday the names of people that got saved. And in 1993, that's a pretty good year, wasn't it, Brother Joy? 1993, every Sunday except one Sunday and maybe a second one, I know one Sunday, maybe two, 50 Sundays, there were names written on that calendar God saves sinners every Sunday by walking down the aisle under Holy Ghost power and getting born again. And I'm all for children getting saved. And I'm all for people getting saved in their living room. You hear me? I'm all for saved, for picking up youngins and bringing them. But in our church that year, the altars flooded all year long. So we had all them new converts. They began to notice something. They even began to be troubled. And they'd say to me, "Why is it, Brother Dean, that God saved me?" And then our lives fell apart. So many of them would. They'd get saved. And when in just a little while, some calamity, some tragedy, it just the whole thing fall apart. Different scales with different people. But the thing would fall apart. Well, it bothered me. And I went to the Lord because I didn't know what to tell him. And I went to my prayer closet. And I said, "Lord, why is it that you're saving all these people? And then you're letting their life fall." And he didn't even let me finish. Question insulted him so bad, he interrupted me. He knew what I was going to ask. And the Lord gave me the answer in the prayer closet. And I went back to the church next Sunday. And I said, "The Lord got an answer for y'all. It's not that God saved you and then your life fell apart. But it's that God saw your life was going to fall apart. And he stepped in there and saved you before it did. And your life may have fell apart, but you hadn't fallen apart." Amen. And I just want to stop and say, thank God. Thank God. He knows when a chapter 4 is coming. And he'll give you a chapter 3. Amen. Thank God he knows how to give you a chapter 3 before a chapter 4. Oh my. Before I leave that Jordan right there, I want to say something about the Trinity there. When we see God for the first time, all of Him, in the New Testament, He's doing what God does. He's doing what God does best. I don't know how to say this. I got some smart preacher friends in here. Y'all help me articulate this better. But the Lord showed me this, and I've been burdened about it. It's what our churches need. It's what our pulpits need. It's what our children need. We need God to be God. Amen. Now, I know you backed me up right there, but I didn't even explain it. We need God to be God. And when God showed up in the New Testament, when He showed up in Christ, when He showed up with Christ, when He showed up as Christ, when He showed Himself on page 2 of this grace age, what was He doing? The Spirit was coming down. Jesus was coming up. And God was speaking, remaining invisible, and yet speaking from another world. And if we need anything from the Holy Ghost, it's this. We need Him to fall on us in power and in glory. And if we need anything from Jesus, we need that what he came to do. To die and to be buried and to raise again from the dead. I'm going to say that we need that resurrection power. Many a man lived, nobody lived like he lived. Many a man died, now nobody died quite like he died. Many a man was buried, and his burial was special. But nobody ever did what he did when he got up from the grave. Because he was life. And he was God. And if we need anything, we need the Spirit of God to fall on us. Amen. We need the resurrection of power of Christ to raise us up. And we need God's Word. The power of God's Word. I don't even know how to convey that to you. But I pray you get under a burden and pray that God would be God in our churches. Our churches would have resurrection, Jesus rising up in them. The Holy Ghost falling down on them. And God speaking from another world into our midst. Preachers, you better pray for that. Young preachers, you better pray for that. Christians, we better pray for that. Tell you something, we don't need the government to work. We just need God to work. God works when governments don't work. Amen. Oh my. We don't need your deacons to cooperate. We need God to cooperate. Oh, your teenagers don't need the next fancy thing coming along or a big church program somewhere. Your youngins need God on them and the power of God in them and the Word of God speaking. It's what our camp meetings need. It's what our churches need. Oh, I'm glad he's got an anointing from another world for the next chapter. Two things. Let me close with these other two things. And we'll see how long it takes me to close. Say number two, look in verse 17. He said, "This is my beloved son." What about that? Look in chapter 4, verse 3. What did the devil say? "If thou be the son." Oh, y'all talk to me. Can I say, and not only will he give you the anointing that you need for the next chapter, he'll go ahead and give you the assurance you need for the next charge. When hell charges you. When Satan accuses you. And I tell you, he'll go ahead and give you the assurance you need for the next charge. Do you know God will give you a word before Satan tries to twist that word? Did you know he poured in the disciples everything they needed before he went away? The Holy Spirit just had a reminding ministry. Said he's going to bring all these things to your remembrance. I don't know how to tell you this, but God doesn't give you what you need. It'll come out when it needs to. Help me right there. And you better believe hell's going to charge you. Hell's coming at you. Satan's coming at you. I'm glad he'll give you the assurance you need for the next charge. God done said, "This is my beloved son." Can I say something to you right here? Go ahead and believe God's promise. Go ahead and stand on it. God will tell you things that look like they ain't so. About everything God ever tells you will be something that looks like it's the opposite. Sarah's womb was dead. Abram's life flow was dead. God said, "I'm going to come back next year and y'all going to have a baby." Talk to me now. God told Noah to build a boat the size of 4 football fields. By the way, it's in Kentucky now. I don't know how it got over here. They said it was in Turkey all these years. It turned out it was in Kentucky because I went up there and seen it. I think it looks good too. Amen. I shouted all over that thing. So, run into Michael Hoggard underneath it. That was cool. Amen. I taught him some things. And I was looking for Bill Nye, the science guy. I was just going to hit him right in the head. I didn't know. I'm not a good debater. I was just going to hit him in the head one time. But, the Ark's up there in Kentucky. You know what is interesting? I'm going to say a little something right here. And this ain't Bible. This ain't the Lord. It's like Paul in 1 Corinthians 7. It's just me talking now. This is just me talking. That is interesting. That God let the eastern side of the world, of the western hemisphere, see a replica of the ark right before the second coming. Y'all ain't helping me. You're just looking at me. Isn't that interesting? God laid it on a man's heart to build a replica of Noah's Ark. Amen. Right at the end of the church age. Amen. I was just going to stay in it until the Lord come back. And Jennifer made me get off. Get out here, Dean. I said, "No." She said, "You get out here." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." Because I've learned that third strike. It ain't good. It ain't good. The man may be the head, but the woman is the neck. Turneth it whithersoever she willeth. Write it down, boys. Write it down. Write it down, Sam. Write it down. God told Noah, build a boat the size of 4 football fields on a planet where it's never rained. Anything you ever going to believe God, you're going to have to flat out take Him at His word on it. I love that Jericho walls business in Joshua 6. They're standing there looking at the Jericho walls. They said you could have run NASCAR around it 6 wide. I wish they'd drop the regulators and let people crash again. That'd be great, wouldn't it? But 6 wide. Racing's no fun just going around in circles. I like to... 6 wide. And you know what the Lord said to Joshua? They're looking at the thing. And the Lord said, see, I have given Jericho into thine hand. And that was before it fell down, peoples. Are y'all with me?
Amen.
See? And if I'm Joshua, I'm just going to be like, uh-huh. I see a lot in front of me. What the Lord was doing, He sits in eternity and He sees what's already done. That's why your salvation's eternal. The minute He saved you, He went ahead and set you down in eternity future. You're all, the Bible said you've already been raised up and set seated in heavenly places. When He saved you, He went ahead and sat you down. You're already over there waiting on your body to be. When you get there, you'll have to stand up and move over just so you can sit down. You're going to be beside yourself for the first time, some of you. He said, you're already glorified. You're already justified. You're already seated. You're already washed. Everything after Calvary's got an ed on it. He put a chokehold on Ing, drug him out into 3 hours of darkness, and when he came back, he had an old boy named Ed with him. What would y'all done if Jesus came out of the 3 hours of darkness and said, it is finishing? Nobody runs to that cross. Nobody sings about that cry. Preachers don't preach. Martyrs ain't willing to die for something that's finishing. No, he came out of the 3 hours of darkness. He had Ed with him. We are save Ed. We are wash Ed. We are justify Ed. We are seed Ed. We are resurrect Ed. We are love Ed. Honey, it's too late for God to decide anything. He done did.
Amen.
And if you're going to believe God, you got to look at the Jericho wall while God's telling you it's already gone. And you're going to have to do this. You're going to have to tell God, I'm going to believe what you're saying, not what I'm seeing. Real faith looks at God and says, I'm going to believe what you're saying, and I'm not going to believe what I'm seeing. He told me my sins are gone. Well, I thought I saw one or two of them today. But I'm just going to look at Him. He's sitting in another world. Amen. He's sitting in another world. And He done told me they're gone. They're gone. They're gone. All of my sins were future at Calvary. He made them past before they ever got here. Amen. Amen. I'm going to look at Him and believe what He's saying and not what I'm seeing. You can't believe your lying eyes. Oh, honey. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. And you just understand this. The devil's going to come. Hey, y'all. He's going to throw a lot of ifs at you. If. If. You just remember in your previous chapter, God done said something to you. You believe that. Here's the last thing. Come down to the temptations where the devil tempted him to turn the stones into bread. And then the devil tempted him, cast thyself down. And he'll give his angels charge concerning thee. And then the devil took him up into a high mountain. And took him up there and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. And every time Jesus answered, and y'all know what he said, it is written. I want to say this to you. God will give you the authority you need for the next challenge. God will give you the authority you need for the next challenge. Say three things real fast. One reason God takes you in the wilderness is because you got to learn some things out there. The authority of Satan's got to be learned. The authority of Satan baffles me, flabbergasts me, takes my breath away that he's in Jesus' face, the Creator, the God-man, and he's offering him kingdoms. He's tempting him with something as small as bread and tempting him with something as large as the kingdoms of the world. By the way, y'all going to have to deal with little things and big things. Amen. Went from a loaf of bread to the kingdoms of the world. Honey, we better take little things just as serious as we do the big things. Some little things he's been putting you under conviction about. Well, honey, if you can't handle a piece of bread, what are you going to do when the kingdoms of the world are laid out in front of you? He answered all three times, "It is written." Arno Gablin sat on the board of editors, C.I. Schofield. I've really been feeding off of him. Gablin, that Jew, commented on Matthew, and he said the three temptations was the three areas where God gave Jesus authority. When he tempted him with bread, he tempted him as the Son of Man. When he tempted him with the angels, he tempted to prove that he's the Son of God. And when he tempted him with the kingdoms, he tempted him as the King of the Jews and the King of Kings. He was in all points tempted like as we are, but he was also tempted in three areas that we ain't never been. He was the Son of Man. He had to be our fellow man to get us out of our humanity, get us out of our hell. He was the Son of God to get us not just out of our hell, get us into his heaven. And he is the King of Kings to take over our world, to get us to his world. It is written. In the wilderness, you're going to learn something about the authority of Satan. But you're going to learn something about the authority of Scripture. And then you're going to learn something about the authority of the Savior. When he was done, he said, "Get thee behind me. Get thee hence," I believe is how he said it. "Get thee hence." For it, and honey, when he was done, it was done. And he run the devil. Ain't you glad all you got to do is resist him and he'll flee from you? You know, if you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Them giants in the Old Testament, them giants, Dana Williams, I understand, goes all the way back to the first mountain church he pastored, friends with you. Brother Dana, years ago, 20 years ago, taught me as a young preacher that them giants, them enemies of God in the Old Testament, said they're not a record anywhere of a giant ever having killed any of God's youngins. They ain't no giant ever killed any of God's children. He said there ain't no record of a giant killing anybody in the Bible. Did you know the only thing them giants, like Goliath, all they can do is taunt you, tease you, torment you. But I notice they're not allowed to touch you. Amen. But you know anybody gets full of God and takes a notion can kill a giant? Little David come down there and he killed that giant. The runt of the family, babysitting sheep. "Here, Captain, here's some cheese. Here, brothers, here's some bread. I got to get back to my babysitting job. But before I do, who is that cussing?" Maybe even a little teenage boy might have been. Killed a giant. What about that woman over there? Amen. Sisera, captain of the Assyrian guard. 9-foot bed and his legs stuck off the end of it. She gave him milk in a bottle. And then she took a hammer and a wooden peg out of the end of the tent and she drove it through his head. A little nurse mama. Amen. tucked in a giant with warm milk. Read your Bible. Warm milk and tucked his covers in and then run a nail through his head. Amen. Turns out teenage boys and women can kill giants. Amen. What about Caleb? 80 and 5. Amen. Andrew Kerrigan's my hero. What vitamins are you taking? I'm starting in the morning, Brother Kerrigan. Amen. 85 years old, Caleb said, I've waited 40 years. Bless my britches. Tired of smelling Bengay. I'm ready to smell the blood of an eagle. What is that? Fee-fi-fo-fi. Hold on, that ain't in the Bible. That's something else. He said, amen. I smell him, rascal. And Caleb, 85 years old, got the biggest mountain with the tallest giants in the record in the history of the human race, the Anakims. Killed all them rascals. So I got a young lad, a mama, and an old man. We ain't even got a real man yet to kill a giant. Just anybody takes a notion can kill a giant. Can I get a witness right there? Oh my, I'm done tonight. I hope something in this has ministered to your heart. And I hope God gets you ready for what's coming next. Y'all are walking out of a summer of camp meetings. I trust God's got you ready for what's next. I bet a bunch of these young'uns been to Bible camp. God done a work in their heart. I bet a bunch of y'all been in camp meetings, summer meetings. Well, guess what? He's poured some heaven on us. He's poured some glory on us. But there's some things coming next. But he's give you everything you need. I got to close with this. Now, folks, I had three of my pretty ones picked out. I said, Lord, they need to hear this. You know, you're a little... I've waved three outlines at him all day. Now, Lord, that's my first time down there. They really need to hear this. Y'all talk to me. And the Lord said to me, when is the last time I ever asked you what anybody ever needed anywhere? I said, not ever, never. He said, well, I ain't asking you tonight either. You go over there and tell them. You put away your fancy outlines and you go over there and tell them that God's got them ready for what's next. Amen. Brother Jeff, I got to say this as I close with this. I heard old black preacher. I found a Baptist black preacher. They're hard to find. I found a Baptist black preacher. And he was preaching out of this text just a month ago. Found him on some of them TV channels where you got to leave the whole thing and keep running up there. 979, channel 979, you know. And an old boy. And he said the devil was trying to get him and to prove that angels. And the devil's telling him, God will send angels. Fish in the angels if you'll just leap down from here. Cast thyself down. And the old black man said, run down to verse 11. Said, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. And he said, only as a black preacher can say, he said, folks, don't be worrying about listening to the devil. Don't cast yourself down just to get an angel here. He said, angels were already on the way. Angels. He said, what the devil didn't know and Jesus didn't know is that angels were already on the way. Is it verse 11 where angels came and ministered unto him? And he said, angels were already on the way. And I got news for y'all. It may be the wilderness for a while. It may be wild beasts for a while. It may be Satan for a while. It may be fasting and hungering for a while. But angels are on the way. Amen. Angels are already on the way. Amen. Amen. Let's stand our feet. Let's make some music. Why don't we come around on this last night and make some prayers? Why don't we come around and have some prayers? God knows what's coming next in your life. God knows what's coming next in your ministry. God knows what's coming next in your family. God knows what's coming next in your journey. Why don't you come make some prayers tonight? Thank God He's got what we need for us with what's coming next.